Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Brilliant, Alan. Who knew you would call me? You could have called Jason Wiedner. You could have just done it for me.
Right. That was pretty good. I did like that. For anyone who hasn't seen the fly-throughs for the Masters, which I imagine is everyone. I don't know why most people would watch that, but I'm not trying to discourage it. I just I don't know how you stumbled across it.
Mate, Park don't release a video without me watching it.
Fair enough. I respect that. I definitely do respect that. But yeah, I definitely wasn't checking out the fly-throughs of courses that I've played many, many times. But luckily you were, and I got guilted into, I mean, I happily sponsored hole two for the Masters under the Throwlers banner. And Jace Wiedner did a nice little impression of yourself and myself in the intro. And I thought that was quite funny.
It was very good. Well done. You can tell the man's a true listener. He had us to the T.
Yeah. Sublime, Alan.
Sublime, Alan.
That's good. Yeah. You did good there. I like that. How's your week been?
Yeah, last one, isn't it? Limping to the finish line. It's been a big one. Looking forward to school holidays, that's for sure. And looking forward to warming up for Vic Open and getting up to Bendigo over the school holidays and, playing a few laps of that track. How about yourself?
Good week. So far, so good. Anyway, my gym does these blocks of four-week programs. And then every three blocks, so 12 weeks, after that we do like a testing on our primary lifts, and it happens to be testing week. And I was going for a bit of a lofty target, and I'm a bit on track at the moment, so doing all right. Monday we did back squats and got a we're just doing one rep maximum testing, so it's not stuff you do very often because it's pointless and you probably hurt yourself, but I put 150 kilos on my back and I squatted down and stood back up. So I was pretty happy with that. And hit 105 on the bench today, which is not that impressive, but my chest kind of sucks. But it's all good news. What's got me on track is I'm trying to get into the 1,000-pound club, which translates into about 455 kilos for people in Australia. And so that means that I need to hit a 200-kilo deadlift tomorrow to qualify, and it means nothing at all. It's just a it's just a heavy amount and a nice whole number, so it's sort of a bit of
just
a thing.
It's just as cool as the 4 a.m. club, in my opinion.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, so that's the goal tomorrow, to pick up 200 kilos off the ground, so we'll see how that goes. But
good.
So far on track.
What is a deadlift? So a deadlift is where weights start on the ground, you squat, and you just got to get it off the ground. Is that what a deadlift is?
Yeah, you just got to lift it up so you're standing up straight now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to chuck it overhead or anything like that. I'm not doing that shit. That's fucked. But
yeah.
But yeah, just pick it up without ripping your back in half, and we'll see how we go. So that'll get me to the 1,000-pound club. So we'll find out. If I get it, I might make a little video of myself. So that's probably how you find out. So if you don't see a video, then I didn't get it.
Okay, I look forward to this. This will be front and center. We'll pin this on our socials.
Oh shit! I shouldn't have said it. Nah, it should be good. Feeling good, so we'll see how we go with that. But yeah, I've been a bit of a chill week, so not too bad. You mentioned the Vic Open, so I think we might do a bit of a MPO check-in or a tracker. MPO tracker. We're up to 12. Yes, I don't know what we had last week. I think it might have been 11. Was it?
We from 10 to 11.
Yeah. And so I think the new entrant might be, where did I see his name? Clayton Beck. So we've got it one more interstater. There's two interstaters and then 10 Victorians. So up to 12, 130 in the field now. So not too bad. But we might just keep an eye on that for the next few weeks. I thought we'd get to at least 16 so in the pro field, but not sure if that'll end up happening. So we'll see how we go.
Yeah, I'd like it to stay around 12 myself.
I'm sure you
I'd
would.
Like to, obviously, in my last year of MPO, I'd love to be like, in my last year of MPO, I made third card MPO, so at Vic Open, so I'm a pretty big guy.
Pretty big guy.
So, but we'll see. Otherwise, I am destined to fourth card. While we're doing this check-in, would you like me to bring in anything hot off the press?
Oh, sure. Yeah, this I've actually done a little bit of research since you sent me that. So this will flow in nicely. Yeah, what have you got?
Yeah, I don't have much, but there, you know, as you've alluded to and we've alluded to on a couple of chats, we do have a MPO dedicated chat. And there's a bit of chat going around, where are the interstate players, where are we at? And there's kind of been this consensus at the end of a brief discussion, and I don't think it's too far off the mark, so I'm happy to share that essentially it's a great state to live in for disc golf, but not a great state to travel to for disc golf. That's how it's summarized.
Okay.
And I kind of, yeah, and obviously we're talking about MPO players here, but yeah, like if you're an MPO player, Victoria's great. You got events all the time.
Tons. We got to have the most.
Yeah.
The number one state, exactly. For sure.
But whether or not we have the most prestigious events that you would go out of your way to travel to, like e.g. Eruption, and obviously that's the pinnacle, but like even like that type of caliber, you know, the chat's kind of gone to you. Maybe not. Like, great state to be in as an MPO player, but not a great state to travel to.
Fair enough. There you go. I did a bit of digging because I know that they may talk about courses and this and that, but at the end of the day, all those little pro pussies care about is their the pay or what they will or will not get. And I did a bit of research on their behalf onto the 2024 majors. I didn't do the Tassie Open because it was like four pro players, so didn't see the merit of this. And I did just look into the MPO field. I didn't look at the 40s and FBOs, but I think the percentages in that all stay the same. So if we start off at the Sizzler, they had 22 players, paid out six, and this is all in US dollars because that's what comes off the thing. They had $590 for the winner and just under $1,600 total. Vic Open, 32, eight paid out, and $464 for the winner, and about under $1,700 for the total. So not too, it doesn't seem like too bad of a difference off the top there. And I won't go through them all because it's a bit of a to-do. I might send it to anyone who is interested, but the part that I've sort of found to be the most telling is the amount paid out per participant or per entrant. And if you look at Eruption, it's about $125 paid out per competitor, and Nationals was 138, but I think Nationals, the entry fee was about double what it normally is, right?
Yeah, it was at least like an extra $100 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, something crazy like that. So so the Eruption definitely sort of stands out on its own. You've got Pine Lines and the Sizzler. Sizzler was $72 per person, and Pine Lines was $78 per person. And then you've got the Vic Open was at $52 per person. And the Queensland Open right down to the very bottom at $40. But we know that they had their financial issues this year. So I gave them a half a pass and I looked into the year before, 2023, and it was about $80. So if we're looking at the Eruption and Nationals as standouts above, and then if we look at the other major events throughout the year, the Pine Line, or whatever the WA Championship is that year, Queensland Open and the Sizzler, they're all at $70 to $80 paid out per competitor. This is US, so what does that work out to be? Like 110 or something?
120,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, and then what are entry fees? Roughly that.
Yeah.
So most of them are getting at least their entry fees paid back out. And then the Vic Open stands out as, yeah, well below that. So yep. I understand. I get it for them. It's weird coming from an AMS perspective because we don't, like, I travel and do all this stuff knowing I'm not going to get shit back. Like, you might win a voucher or a disc or something like that. So, but it is a different mentality. And, yeah, the Vic Open definitely does stand out there. So I kind of get a bit where they're coming from. And, yeah, it might just be a bit of a thing. that we'll see less of the pros traveling down to Vic for these events from now on. So it might just be a reality we need to get used to.
I want to build on that for just a little second. I don't disagree with any of it, and I'm glad the numbers back it up. I just do want to clarify that there's many MPO players, like myself included, but there's many others who are not in it for the cash. Like in my case, through skill, and being in it for the cash is not really an option. But like, I do believe that there are some top end disc golfers that are also not playing for that $100. Like, what are they actually winning? Like, if they've come into state, they're not actually breaking even in a lot of these cases if they're staying at an Airbnb or anything like that. So that, but some are, and lots are. Don't want to be misunderstood here, but I just thought the chat went interesting today. When I saw it sparked up, I didn't think it was going to go the way that it ended up going. And I thought it was just like interesting insight that it was like, they just felt the Vic Open, they didn't even talk about the payouts. They just thought it lacked a bit of prestige. And I just thought, that's interesting. Like, does it? Is it like, and again, eruption's the holy grail, but like, how prestigious is the Vic Open? I thought, that's a good question. Like, and like they alluded to like even shit like lack of players meeting, lack of this, like they were like, it just doesn't feel like a big event.
Okay. That's odd because like, last year it had the most competitors in the MPO field, including nationals or eruption. So that is a bit odd that it has a small event feel when it was the biggest event for the pros for the year. Is an interesting one. I wonder. That is a strange one to look into. Maybe they can get something together and voice their concerns and put it out there. Like what the pros want, and then it's up to the TDs to decide whether they give a shit. I guess.
Yeah. Oh, like, exactly. And like you said it beautifully a couple of weeks ago. Like if we get to 140 or whatever, like a 150, like what is that magical number? Like if you can just like throw an event together and the sports that popular that 150 are going to rock up, be it, 120 of them are Victorians and why break it back? The work that Ryan Michelle and shit put into the eruption, like, they do a year's work inside a month, like it's hard to look at the eruption and go, yeah, I'd love to TD that event. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that looks like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
But obviously from a player's perspective, it is the pinnacle. Like, and I can't see that being broken, but like the sheer amount of work that goes into making it that way is outrageous. And like in a volunteer based sport, like Iron Arcs and Jackson to do that. Like,
That's fair. That's very fair. I wonder, we've spoke about this before, but I wonder how much of it comes down to being the same course every year as well. Being a factor. So, like, it's obviously a great course, but it's the same one every single year. So, I wonder how much of that plays into it, if any. So, hard to tell, I guess. But, the vibe is not so much the money, it's the lack of, like, prestige.
Today that was the vibe.
Today, yeah.
Like, the vibe has always been about the money. But, yeah, today it was interesting. It wasn't about the money. I was this is interesting.
There you go. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of that. What's on the rot sheet? Pro Tracker 101. Oh yeah. Episode 101. So just want to have a big shout out to Bespoke Discs for hooking us up with the minis. Got them on the weekend for the Mando Madness event and gave a few out to people who were keen. They look great and I'm stoked. But more importantly, the Throlo. So Taryn hit me up and said that it would be a fantastic idea for a disc, a Throlo. And I was like, yes, 100%. Immediately went on the Bespoke website, saw that there was two of them left, and I just sent a little cheeky message to Anthony, and I said, hey, I wouldn't mind doing a nice little surprise thing for Chris and myself, but I knew about it. could you chuck the stamp on the Rollo, and he's like, oh, I'll see what I can do. Pulls him off the shelf. He says he wasn't sure how it was going to turn out because you know, like it's a blue disc and he had to wipe the stamp and da-da-da, but fuck, it's so good. It's so, so good. Anthony's the best, man. Like, for anyone who sees any of the stuff that Bespoke Disc does, I'm assuming this is pretty across the board for most people. But all I just give him, like, bare information. And just he just makes it all. He designs it all. And he's like, what do you think of these three things? And I'm like, yes, so good. That one.
Yeah.
Done. Thank you. Like, he's incredible. If you don't have a custom disc made by Bespoke yet, then you're crazy. But the Throlo is the best, and no one will beat that for sure. He's wiped it, and then they've had to like re-grab that normal Rolo print and then adapt it to say Throlo. It's just so good. I love it.
Elite. It is elite.
So, yeah, very keen. Threw mine on the weekend, and I'll get you yours when I see you next.
Perfect.
But yeah, 101. I think I want to thank everyone for reaching out and giving us props for getting to 100, which seems weird because we just do the same crap. We've just done it a lot of times now, but people were still giving us props, so that was nice. Got some very inspiring stuff too from our good friends at the Tee Off, right? They made that beautiful video. They reached out and let us know.
Yeah? Yes. Correct.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Yeah. I thought we saw that. That was nice from them. That was very nice coming from them.
Very humble. Very, very humble.
Very humble. We might send them a nice video too in 3 years when they hit 100.
Yeah. We'll be rolling. We'll do something special for episode 678.
Exactly. All right, there was a bit of disc golf this weekend, the Mando Madness, which I made it out to, and is my first one. I think it's like number three or something, but I've managed to not get to any other two, and I don't really know why, but I'm glad I got out to this one. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Have you been to any yet?
Oh, damn it. Don't know. Don't think so.
I don't think so either. But that was great. I went to the random doubles in the morning, and that was a good bit of fun. We just had paired off. He just put sort of, you know, above 900 people, and then he split the others. And anyway, it became a bit of a thing, and just like a max two drive setup. Can't really go through too many of the scores because we didn't have like the teams listed, but I do know that Narada's team won. I can't remember who he had with him, but they were a triple. I will mention that. It was the only triple, and they did get it done. But Narada tells me that it was really all him, and he putted like a demon. So,
awesome.
But I think their rules were, let's say if they took Narada's drive, they couldn't take his drive next hole. Like it was one drive in a row max sort of setup.
Okay, yep.
So, pretty fair, but you get three putts and three approaches. But anyway, Narada reckons he's dominated. He got it done. I was partnered up with I've forgotten his name now. Ross Davies. And we did all right. Shot a neg five, missed a couple putts too, so we could have been right there, but we got third. So Dave Wood and someone else in second, not sure who they were with. So who was that? I can't remember now. But yeah. Well done to those. The course was pretty cool. Not dumb. It definitely wasn't dumb. Like, I was assuming, like, real dumb Mandos and stuff. But it wasn't. It was just putting you in weird spots and making you throw specific shapes. So I thought it was really good. Chris Scott, did a really good job. Designed a nice course. So a lot of fun. Nothing real stupid. And it just amazes me that we keep finding new holes to play at Bald Hill. The park is just not that big. But into the afternoon, it was windy. It was windy in the morning and it was windy in the Arvo. We had 28 people go and compete in the Mando. No divisions, just just do your best. And Aiden did his best and shot an egg five with a couple bogues and a couple of OB par saves. So could have been a pretty spectacular round, I think. But an egg five was enough, the best the rest of the field. Timmy Ware and Pen Lu, they're in second with an egg four. Not many people under. Narada in egg three and Succulent Chinese Meal there in egg one. And I'll go down to even just so I can mention my name, Alan, Chris Scott, and Juan. All there and even. I did not part well. Did not part well. That was that really let me down. The wind. I just don't part well in the wind. So that was disappointing. But no, fun course. Yeah, I definitely, if I'd have played well, I probably would have shot a few under. So I don't know whether that speaks to the difficulty of the course or not. But yeah, good day. Is there any names that really stand out to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, Tim Ware taking scalps, obviously, yeah, stands out. Taking some big scalps as well. You've got to scroll a bit further to find Darren Staysmith on +6 alongside Jason Wiedner also on +6. Obviously, two of the better disc golfers in the state. Then I just want to circle back to doubles for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know you don't remember who Narada's partner was, but who was David Wood's partner?
Oh, I don't know. That's what I said. I thought it might have been Peter Barry. But I'm trying to remember. I feel like I asked because I paid with Pete in the Arvo. And I feel like I asked him. I was like, oh, how'd you go? And he's like, oh, yeah, pretty good. Shot like an egg 5 or something. And I was like, oh, okay, never mind. All right then. So that would have been one hell of a contest. I know Pete said he was up there. So if it was Pete and Dave, that's a fucking ripper effort.
Hot effort. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. But no, I don't remember. Who else had my card in the Arvo? I don't know. Can't remember. Anyway, not sure. Yeah, not sure who Dave was paired up with. Sorry.
All good. All good. Great turnout, obviously. Which is great to see. And yeah, it was a windy day. I can confirm it was a windy day.
You can confirm, can you? Why? What were you doing?
I was flying kites in the backyard.
Yeah, fair enough. There you go. I don't, there's no handicap, obviously, because it's an unrated course. But I dare say, Timmy Ware's name would be pretty high up on the top there, I think. But Zach as well, Zach Schloeffel, I feel like that name with a +4 would find himself pretty high up in the handicap leaderboards. Even Zolt, probably. Zolt shouldn't have +6, I think it was, is a pretty nice round with Jace. But yeah, the bottom end would have to be old Dazimataz there, which can't be good for my throwers guarantee. Do we remember how that shook out?
Yeah, so that was a pretty simple one. I just asked for a bit of Aiden up against Daz head to head, and you pipped Aiden as the favourite by the nose and said 4 points for Aiden. And you know, Chris Scott was sat right next to us at the time and said, yep, Aiden's played a couple of laps on that. And I didn't design a lefty course. And I was like, I'm going to take Aiden for 4, please.
That brings you up to 29. It was close, though. Aiden only had Dazza by 11. So he was right there. My throwers guarantee, I had myself to beat Sam Stoyer. And
yeah, you did.
He didn't show up. So that sucks for me. Thanks,
it does.
Sam.
It does.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, good. I was wondering how you were going to play that.
No, I don't think. I don't think. If he didn't show up, then I didn't beat him. I think that's fair. I've probably snaked that in the past, but that's probably not right.
If we were closer to the end, I might let you snake it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a long way to go.
And in saying that too, if I'm looking at people that would be in Div A in metrics, I think the only one below me, I'm tied with Juan and then Brett, Zeeble and Dazza, probably the only two below me. So decent chance Stoyer would have rolled me.
Yeah.
We never know. You never know.
You never know. We will never know.
But fun course.
You should have put yourself against Succulent Chinese Meal. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, still would have lost. Still would have gone home with 0 points. But a fun day. Big props to Chris for putting it on and for the club too. So it was a free event for club members, and they cooked up a barbecue for us. So that was nice. Free barbecue lunch. Nice day out playing frisbees. How can you go wrong? Melbourne Club. It's the best club going around.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
what was I going to say? Did you see? Do you see? Yes, I remember. Do you see what Chris Scott did at doubles?
Doubles, I did not. Oh, at choose dubs.
Choose dubs.
Yes, I did actually. Well, what was the score in the end?
-14.
-14, on his own, right? As a solo with mullies, like you get a mully a hole.
Mully a hole, yeah.
Ooh, that's still very, very good.
Yeah.
That's very, very good.
It feels pretty good.
Yeah. Nah, huge effort by him. I forgot we actually had a... I'm glad you mentioned him. We had a thrower's guarantee between Chris and Patman as well. So we had... I think the setup was that the doubles would be 3.5 strokes better than the singles. And yeah, Patman took the unders?
Bigger gap.
Right? Yeah, exactly. That the singles would do worse than that. And Chris Scott said, no, the singles would do better than that. And I think there was a bit of confusion. He was asking me about it. I said, no, all you got to do is if someone shoots -6, yours gets up. And he's like, oh, easy. Done. Well, Aiden shot -5.
Yep.
So first off, I just want to congratulate me for picking a pretty good line.
That's a great line.
But well done, Patman. He's like, no, 3.5, not enough. So good effort. I don't know if he just thought that the doubles would go higher or he knew that the singles would be shit, but Patman nailed it. So Pat got his first dollars guarantee. He's on the board and Chris Scott is not.
Well done, Pat. He's on 5 points. You might catch Alan at this rate, Pat.
Shit, it's not good. You're 19 for the year. I'm 10 behind you now at the moment. This is not good. I need to hit a trollers.
You do.
I need to hit a trollers. It's getting ugly. There's not too much going on this week, so I'm going to bring in a turn back time. I forgot to get the song up, but if I could turn back time. That's our little intro.
That's so good.
Where we revisit an old tournament that you and I had both played at. So we're going to turn our attention back to August of 2018, the Invalid Disc Golf Open, driven by Innova.
Driven, I love that.
Driven by Innova. So there was 63 players. This has to be... There can't have been too many Invalid Opens before this. 2018, like, when do you think Invalid went in? I don't know.
Yeah, it must have been then.
Yeah, there or thereabouts, I'm sure. But 63 players, pretty good turnout, I think, for pre-COVID. That's nice for a two-round event. We had 10 in the open field, so just shy of what we got for the Vic Open this year. And of the 63 players in 2018, how many people do you think went under par in what I assume is 3 rounds of Invalid Gold?
Yeah, they would have just had the one layout then. And it actually wasn't Invalid Gold. It was a version thereof. I reckon there was only 9 baskets installed, maybe.
Okay.
Like 9 concreted in, or maybe they just concreted the other 9 in.
63 players, so there must be more than... Well, there must have been. I reckon baskets. It's set up temps.
9 tenths.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so possibly similar to what is now gold, but probably some slight variances. Under the card, Invalid Gold, let's go with 60-something players, you said?
63. 10 in open.
10 in open. Let's go with 2. 2 or 3.
1.
Wow.
1. Who do you reckon that might have been? 2018. Killer.
Yeah, well, it'd have to be none other than Patman, surely.
No, Jareth Sweeten.
Wowee.
Jareth Sweeten with a 1 under. And it might have been, I don't know how, I can't remember if the finals, because they did a final 9 for this back then. They did a final 9 for the Emily Open. They did a final 9 and he did not do very well in it. So Pat Robertson in second place clawed 5 strokes back on the final 9. So, Jarrett finished with a -1. So, I'm not sure if that includes the finals or not. But, yeah, Patty, though, +5. So, a 6-stroke gap. And there was 5 strokes clawed back in the final 9. So, Jarrett was just murdering the field. and it got super ugly after that. Like, so neg one, plus five, and then it goes third place was Noisy at plus 19.
And then, wowee.
Yeah, it got fucking rough. So that is included in the finals because Fergie's got you covered at a plus 31, even though you got a plus 22. So that must count the final. So Jarrett must have been well good after the three rounds. So that's nice. Yeah, you're there in fifth place, mate.
Yeah, look out. I've got it open now. What can I say? I'm a big guy.
Big guy. I had a budgie.
You know, I was just back in the country here. Like,
I know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like by like a day.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I got back in August and this event was in August. So I just flown in and re-entered myself onto the Australian disc golf scene and just jagged a little fifth. That's not bad.
Not bad. NPO. Yeah, yep. Not bad. If you look down at the bottom, you see Dill Feldman's name. That's only because of a DNF. But, man, people don't realize what a roller coaster young Dylan was. Because he could, like, almost always throw and putt like he does. But he could also throw and putt wild. Like, wild. The amount of times we saw him, like, five putt. Just going from, like, 15 to 15 to 15 to 15. So his first round was 921 rated, and then his second round was 998 rated. Jesus. In MA1, we see a lot of familiar faces as well. Timmy B takes it out pretty comfortably over our man, Darren State Smith. And Yuha in third. You remember Yuha? He was around for a little bit.
I don't remember Yuha. Okay.
Oscar in sixth, and Taryn in seventh there. And, not too bad. Not too bad first round there from Taz at least. But just huge numbers. Plus a million. Like, people shouldn't average in 10 over a round.
Yeah.
It's wild, man. Unbelievable. It still kills people, but it used to really kill people.
Yeah, it did.
Jeff, easy win in MA50. Two strokes over Kevin Rugg. Get out of here. In intermediate, we see a young Dave Perry with no PDJ number.
What the hell?
Yeah. Taking it out by four strokes with rounds that would average about 900. About a 900 yeah. rating for Dave taking out MA2. So not exactly a strong, like 13-person field, but not so good. I was there in fifth. Getting pants by, 16-year-old Dave Perry or something like that.
I beat him. I beat him by, six strokes. There this you is go. Huge news.
That's
huge
if you news. Play long enough, you'll find there'll be a tournament out there where you've beaten everyone.
Yeah, sick.
It's huge news. At least I still beat Jacob. That's the only... I find ones that we're both playing, but we're also where I probably beat Jacob.
So this is where it all began. Jacob basically hasn't been to Inverley since.
Yeah, probably. This is where his hate came from. It shot a plus 41 over three rounds. I love it. Couldn't crack 900 rated in any round. And then in the novice field, we see Justin Crowe. I didn't realize Justin had been kicking around for that long. So a nice there fourth place for him in MA4. A young Pat Utrey and a young Anthony Majan as well. So...
And also, we got the Vic Open TD himself.
Mm-hmm. Jackson Adams there in second place.
Yeah, this is a good turn back time.
It is. Nah, I was having a look. It was hard finding old ones where you and I played the same event because you lived in the UK for way longer than I realized.
So. Yeah.
But now this was a good one. I like that. So, not bad. And a couple of decent performances from us. So, look at us go.
Yeah, sick. I remember being super not okay with it. Like, I remember walking away from that event going, fuck me, Inverley's hard. I wasn't disappointed with the way I played, but I just, I couldn't score. It was brutal. I couldn't get to the green.
Yeah, 100%. My early memories of Inverley are just, how could you ever birdie? What holes could you ever birdie? Yeah. And now it's theoretically I understand I could. I don't, but I now at least theoretically understand that I could. So we're coming a long way. One day I might actually get a couple.
Yep.
We got a big this West shootout, right, this weekend, where we go from Melton to Xavier.
Correct.
Yeah, nice. Decent show up, what I can see on the metrics for Melton. We're up to, what's the number at? 26. Yeah.
27 now. There
not
you go.
Too bad. So my name's not on it. I'm probably not going to make it because I don't know if I can be bothered. It's hard.
My name's there. I also don't know if I can make it, but I've secured a slot. Hole 8 for those listeners out there. When I hit sign up for hole 8, I was the only one. So if you want to come hang out, please sign up for hole 8.
There you go.
Don't expect me to be there.
Don't expect you to be here. Probably not head to Xavier then.
Definitely not going to head to Xavier.
Nah, but that'd be cool. I love the collaboration between the two clubs. So get out there, sign up. It'll be a bit of fun. I'll see how I go Friday night. It's all dependent. Like my gym, my
it's
class
Sunday.
On the Saturday. On the Sunday, is it?
Oh, okay. It's Sunday, yeah.
Well, I'm 100% not going. I've got a concert on Saturday night, so I don't want to wake up until 12 on Sunday. So never mind. Of course, it's going to be Sunday because it's Xavier. Makes a lot of sense. All right, should we do a bit of Dollars Guarantee on this then?
Yes.
There's nothing much else on... Oh, there's Crater Lakes Classic this weekend.
That's this weekend, is it?
Yeah, I might look at that.
Is Nathan Parrish going?
Yeah, of course.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. That's how you got to find it in the PDGA. Just look for Nate. Is that your go-to?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, perfect. Nah, he does. A few dropouts. I would like to have gone. I think I might have went with this last week that I just kept forgetting that I had this gig this weekend. So
yes.
I kept looking and then pulling out. But six in the open field. MA1's got a tasty 8. Yeah, MA40's looking good. Got some good names. What do you see anything you like to start off with?
Yeah, of course I am. I've got Reinhardt sitting in the MPO field.
Mm-hmm.
Straight off the bat, what would you give me for a W there?
I think he likes Crater Lakes. It's a good spot for him. He's done well with the eruption in the past, so I think he would go in. Oh, it's hard to give him the favoritism because he just doesn't win. Like Tim wins. Tim wins things. This is the kind of event Tim shows up and he wins. So I don't have him as a favorite, but I don't have anyone but him or Tim winning. I love Ethan, but he's not going to get it done. So I think it's a head-to-head between them, and I think Timmy's more likely. I'll just give you a 5.
A 5? But yeah. You think Tim's more likely?
Yeah, well, now I'm starting to... I think I'll call it even. I think Tim's more likely, but I'll call it even, see what you think.
All right. Okay, give me Josh Smith W in MP40.
Yeah, so you didn't like that, did you? You wanted some 6 or 7 action.
I was a 6. I was jumping all over it. Might go back to him at 5. Go back to him at 5, but I'm just interested. Josh Smith for the W over Castales and Chris Hart. Lowest rated player in the field.
Yeah, I mean, not by much. That is a spicy one. I do like that. But I reckon that they're all very genuine chances of taking this down. So, and I reckon they're all about even. How do you split 3? Must be like a 6 each.
Yeah, something like that. 7 each.
Nah, I don't think I'll do that. But I'll give you a 6 for any one of them to win. You can pick which one you want.
Cool. I will take. Oh, wowee. I don't suppose you would give me a 5 for Tim Bowen not to win.
Um, Yeah, I guess so. That's just none of the other. It's either Ryan or the others, right?
It makes me feel a bit better. Like I've got, it is just obviously between those two. But like, just from a gambling perspective, I'm like, I'm hedging my bet, but not really.
Yeah, you're technically adding in the possibility of a Malco Parrish tours.
Oh, Nathan Parrish tours, something crazy.
Yeah,
it doesn't actually help me at all, does it?
I'll give it to you if you want.
No, it doesn't do anything though. So, yeah, I'm taking Reinhart. I'm taking Reinhart on five. Please.
Reinhart for five. All right, I like that.
If you had to give me seven for Josh Smith, I would have done it. I'm backing Josh Smith in this weekend, but yeah. I needed some more points.
I'm starting to get your vibes a little. I'm starting to think where you want to go, and then I'm just underselling you by one.
I didn't notice.
That's good. All right, what am I looking at? The MA1 is looking absolutely way too hard for me to. I couldn't even. Yeah, I want to back my boy Kalen, but there's killers out of there, and I don't want to mess with that. So I'm staying away from that, I think. And what do we got? MA40. Let's see if we can get some Melbourne people involved. So MA50. Oh, is Carey actually going to play? That's the question. All right, I don't know enough about this stuff. All right, I'll dig around in my division. I'll have a look at MA1, but I don't love it. What do I want to do? Andrew Young, Jack Away. Fucking hell. He's the third highest rated.
Mm-hmm.
What would you give me for him to, let's say, not finish in the top four? So there's eight. So the bottom half. What would you give me for finishing bottom half, top half?
He's bunched in there at the middle, though, isn't he? 938, 937, 931. I think that's a 5-5.
Yeah. All right. Cool. He's been playing really well lately, but I'm gonna back against him. I'm gonna say he finishes in the bottom half.
Fifth, okay, bottom half. Big for five.
Yeah, I know.
The hyphen. We've previously backed in the hyphen.
I like it. He's a good guy too, so I like it. I don't want to do it to him, but I just like. It's hard to bet against.
There's a lot of killers.
Timmy Kalen, D, Tom Lee.
And when you're Kalen down the bottom.
Yeah, Kalen, Sam.
Ready to snipe them all. Jesus. Nice. Yeah, I can see what you've done there. Well done. Yeah.
Any trollers?
Absolutely. Can I have Ryan Michelle to win?
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine.
He's the third highest rated, but I just don't. I mean, obviously, I hope he does, but it is. It's between those two, isn't it? It's between Tim and Reinhart. There's no shaking that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll give you that. what can I do then? Benny O'Byrne for something. My troller's guarantee. What do I like here? Kalen would finish top two MPO.
Ooh,
is that enough?
I'll give you that. That's good. I reckon that comes in. That's a big one. It's definitely a trollers. I have to give it to you.
Yeah.
I'll honor that. No hesitation.
Because he'll listen and he'll be like, I could do that. And then when he doesn't, he's like, that's why it's the trollers.
I like it.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we haven't done trolls in a bit, but I remembered today that I'm 100 behind, so I need to...
there we go.
Need to up the ante. all right, we'll do a bit of spotlight, not light. Wrap it up.
Yes, please.
I'll go with my spotlight. So I played... I mentioned I played with Ross Davies and with the father of the young... I've already forgotten his name. Marcus Davies. Good guy. I haven't had... too much with him, but we were playing and he's done, it was windy as shit, and he's pulled out something flippy. We were doubles partners and I think I'd thrown a really nice shot And he's like, I'll just try something strange here then. I'll see if I can like maybe turn it into the wind. I think the concept was like flip up, turn, you know, like a righty backhand shape, but with a forehand. Anyway, he's thrown it and it's just started barrel rolling. Just barrel, straight barrel rolling like an epic. When you throw the epic and it starts flipping like that.
So, oh, no.
So it was wild. I don't know what he was thinking. But yeah, that gets a bit of an honorable mention. But the part that I really liked, the spotlight that I'll give him was as soon as we got paired up, he walks out of me, doesn't even say hello. And he's like, all right, Alan, I got a bit of a bone to pick with you. Sure, man. He's like, how do you think that you are the best disc golf basketballer? He's like, I would kick your ass. And I was just like, yes, let's go. And from what he describes, it sounds like that back in his day in New Zealand, he definitely would have absolutely smoked me. He was talking about how he used to be able to like get up and jam on people. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. But I did tell him I'm talking about right now. And that I am more than happy to take on anyone who challenges. But I just love it. I love that he straight away was just like, nah, no chance. And apparently they, when they went to the Sizzler, they discovered the pod and just binged a bunch of them when they were driving. So that was really cool. So I did like that. And it reminded me of this comedian that I'd seen on Facebook, on Instagram or something really recently. I'll play the clip now and you'll see why it sort of made me instantly think about that.
Beautiful.
Oh, I'm trying. Play.
When people find out you know how to play basketball, they automatically think they better than you. Automatically think they better than you. Right? They only have to see you play, they just think they better than you. Like, word, you play basketball, word? Okay, that's what's up. You be on your bone. Okay. I'll bust your ass. You don't play basketball. Get the fuck out of here.
I like it. It goes on for a bit, but it's so funny. It's so true. It's just like you hear someone plays basketball, and you're just like, yeah, I'm better than you. But like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So no, I like that. We like someone who lets us know that they're good. So my spotlight goes to Ross Davies for letting me know that he bust my ass.
Beautiful. I want to test your audio capacity right now.
Oh, yeah.
I've just sent you a link via Facebook Messenger, and I've sent it to you via Instagram, whatever works best for you. And this may not be done, but a listener has actually sent in some audio. Is going to be a possibility you're going to be able to hit play on that?
Yeah. I'm just going to wait. My iPad doesn't auto sync with Messenger, so it's just got to like load everything. All right.
Before you hit play, can yes. I do a build in?
Yeah,
a build
yeah.
into it. Awesome. So this is coming from a listener who actually played at the Mando Madness, and he faced himself with an ultimatum. He was either like, I need to work on my forehand, or I become Jamaican. And he's sent in some audio, and if you're able to play that audio, you'll see what this man has landed on.
All right, let's give it a shot.
Dear 1 minute man, god damn, she get it wrong. Big bomber clasp before busting on me head. A sexy girl says she want to give me head. When me fuck pussy turn red. Gymnastic, no the pussy dead.
So,
just develop my forehead or become Jamaican.
Yeah. And so thank you, Darren Stay Smith, for sending that in. And great. Good luck with your Jamaican rapping future. It's a +6 with no forehand available. Makes a bit of sense now. Thank you, Darren.
There you go. All right. That was weird. But we'll take it. Not once. I can't think of any. Nothing come across this week, my desk this week, that I did not like. So,
just the I got none either. The crew, I'm going to play Bendigo. I'm going to go play Bendigo on Wednesday, and I could be playing solo. So
yeah, because it's Wednesday, and we have jobs.
Yeah, that's, you know, we got, that's okay. We got sickies.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, you have fun on you. You're going to be in not life and not taking a day off to go hang with you on your day off.
Yeah.
Piece of shit. All right, that'll do us. Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.